Ho! Hello, everyone! Welcome from around the internet, basically located in Monmouth and Ocean County, though. Worldwide, you don't have to watch this. This is totally a local podcast. It's all about local information, local news, colorful characters, and what the heck is going on, man? It's PG. I'm not even going to curse this time, I swear. Just kidding. Well, maybe. We'll see.
Have fun in that.
Aaron Levine from LG Insurance, as always.
Hello.
How's it going, man?
Everything's good. Everything's good. Just hanging out in the office right now and living the dreams.
Randy from Profulgent Technology in the house.
How's it going?
How you doing, man?
Doing good.
Good. That's great. I'm just getting everything set here. You know, it's interesting to think about how we're all kind of alone in this together. We're all separated, yet going through the same thing. And usually this show is all about, you know, it's about retail. We'll have local businesses, restaurants, stuff like that. You're obviously a local business because you can't really navigate the waters of IT over the phone alone. You need somebody sometime when the shit hits the fan. You really need somebody in there to save your computer, and that's where you come in. You're based out of Profulgent Technologies is based out of Hazlitt, and do you service like Monmouth and Ocean? Do you go further than that in New Jersey? Where do you really work out of?
We're primarily working within an hour of Hazlitt.
Okay.
With clients as far south as Ocean County, far north as Bergen County, you know, pretty much within a vicinity, you know, 1 hour, you know, from the Hazlitt area.
All right. That sounds good. I mean, what's it been like in the past, you know, few weeks, the month? Have you had to do a lot of like, you know, traveling to people's houses? Have you told people like, hell no, I'm not going there? Like, how have you been working as far as like IT in that respect?
We've pretty much been saying, hell no, we're not going there.
Sounds good.
We're not on site anywhere. You know, so anything we can do remotely, we're doing remotely. We actually were fired by one client for not willing to go on site to help him.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it was an attorney. And his dictating software for his computer wasn't working, and we were trying to help him remotely, and he was getting frustrated. Oh, man.
I can't even imagine. Like, I have to help my dad remotely. He's like retired bricklayer, and like, you know, I give him computers like they're like Kleenex. I'm like, just use it till the wheels fall off, and then please, we'll get you a new one. But he's old school. He always wants to fix it, and I'm like, Dad, you're running like Windows 7. I can't just throw it out. Just throw it out the window. It's over. I'll get you a new one. Because I can't even explaining where the start button is. It's just like a whole, you know, it's an odyssey every friggin' time. So
right.
You're doing the Lord's work. Bless you. Thank you for being out there talking to people and explaining computers to them. Because I don't know how and where and why sometimes, you know, how you get it done.
So now actually, you know, what we're doing a lot is actually video sharing. So, you know, we can set up a FaceTime, you know, just have a call with somebody and, you know, we'll just walk them through doing things that we would normally do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it'll take a little longer because it takes some time to get connected and take some time to walk them through doing the steps of what we would be doing. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it keeps us out healthy, it keeps them healthy, and, you know, keeps everybody protected and safe and, you know, eliminates the fact of, you know, having to have somebody go on site.
Has there been any kind of uptick in certain kind of issues that people have been having since all this? Or is it pretty much just like, you know, status quo, the same kind of dumb things people were doing before they're doing now, and you have to like, you know, clean out their computer?
Yeah, it's similar. You know, now we're just helping more with remote computers than helping with computers in the office. You know, but it's still similar problems. It's just, you know, connecting to different systems.
Have you been dealing with like, all right, so I've been reading in the news, obviously we're using Zoom right now. I hope the hackers didn't hear that because they will bombard us with all kinds of, I don't know, Russian kind of spy. I don't know what's going on. That's your business. But have you been following that? And what is the actual, cause I log on here and it's like, what can they possibly do through this like through this program, through Zoom, like what are people so worried about that's going to happen when it comes to going on to Zoom? What are they going to do?
So I'm not a heavy Zoom user, so I wasn't exactly, I don't know all the intricate details of it. But you know, my understanding of it is there's something called Zoom bombing, which basically hackers or whoever, you know, you can have a meeting and somehow they'll hack in and, you know, we'll be talking the way that we are right now. And next thing you know, somebody else will start chiming in and you'll have no clue that they're even on the call. And you're like, you know, who's that? I guess it's happened with, you know, some children and stuff. And
Not cool. That's where it's bad. You don't want to mess, you know, leave the children out of this. Some of that stuff's funny though. If a mayor is having like a council meeting and then like you just get like duty emojis like going across the screen and they don't know what's going on. I mean, that's classic. If, you know, I was thinking about that, I'm like, oh, we don't have a password on this. I hope nobody comes on. I'm like, but what are they, you know, what is somebody going to do if it's duty emojis or something like that? I don't know. Maybe we would get even more views. I have no idea.
So that's the big thing behind it. You know, it's making sure that you password protect the meetings. The people that are connecting do have the password to get in, and you know, some random person can't find the link and just connect in.
Okay.
And the other part of it, just like any application, is making sure the application is always up to date. So I had Zoom loaded on my laptop, but I haven't used it recently. So just now, when I connected, you know, the Zoom version was outdated. It was actually pretty far behind. But Zoom didn't actually prompt me to update it. I actually had to go into the settings and tell it to check for updates, and then I found the update, and then I was able to apply the update.
Yeah, I just had to do that. I just had to update mine as well. I did that early.
All the security issues from, you know, the past 2 weeks that, you know, were discovered regarding Zoom and supposedly been rectified. So now it's just a matter of everybody that's using it and making sure that the application that they're using is actually up to date.
Yeah, they use like super weird. I don't know, guys. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I threw my tinfoil hat out a long time ago, I think. Maybe. I might go pick it out of the trash, though, because I read some of these stories and I'm like, what's, you know, a federal intelligence analysis is what they say they did on Zoom. And I don't even know. I don't even know why you would do that for a company, or isn't it kind of a thing where these companies should be kind of self-policing? I guess you can't even count on them to do that. If there is a security issue, I don't understand why there's a federal analysis going on. You know what I mean?
Probably because whatever happened and somebody reported it, and when somebody reported it, you know, somebody probably started digging in to figure out, you know, what's wrong and why it's happening. And they went from, I forget however many number of users to, you know, they brought on like a third more than they ever had, you know, when everybody now working from home and, you know, doing what we're doing right now and having meetings and stuff like this. It's, you know, they went from, I think, 100 million to 300 million or 200 million to 300 million, something like that.
Do you think it's kind of the case too with like most of, you know, most of the companies out there, the problems that they get into are, they're kind of just dealing with the rat race, the day-to-day parts of their business. And they're not really, as long as the company and the technology is working, they're just going to use it kind of like Pops. They're just going to use it till the wheels fall off. Like a lot of these companies are just not updating or keeping up to date with whatever technology they're using. And that's allowing these kind of security breaches to happen.
And, you know, they're keeping up with it, but the hackers are keeping up with it just as much, if not more, you know, because the hackers are trying to find a way to exploit it, to get in and, you know, try to cause problems with it or try to, you know, benefit from it, you know, somehow. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as much as the company's staying on top of it, the hackers are staying on top of it just as much, if not more. And trying to always look for those exploits.
Yeah.
The inmates always run the asylum. I mean, criminals are always one step ahead. You know, I watched plenty of James Bond in the last 10 weeks to know how this goes down. Uh-huh. You know, I don't want Randy chasing me, but he'll be out on the fishing boat. So I don't have to worry about it.
Yeah. Sounds good.
It's all the time.
I had a friend who worked for this, he worked for a larger corporation, wholesaler of equipment used in hospitals and big buildings and stuff. And this was a couple of years ago, a few years ago, they were still running like Windows XP, and everybody just kept telling them, you've got to update, you've got to up to the point where it's just, I mean, Windows XP isn't supported, it's not being updated, and it's amazing that there's a lot of bigger companies out there run by, I imagine, like older people that just aren't like maybe as up to, you know, up to snuff on this, and they're just going to keep using it until one day it might just all kind of just come crashing down. And that's where Aaron comes in with, I mean, is there an insurance that covers, there's no insurance that covers like IT stupidity, right, Aaron?
That's the word I was thinking.
I think it's all IT stupidity, right? Most of the data breach related incidents have some component of human error. I mean, You know, Randy, talk about phishing right now. How much phishing content is going on with stimulus and with all these loans? And there's got to be more shit out there to click on than ever before. You know, and that's human error, and that's money gets stolen because of that human error.
So crazy out there.
Yeah, the latest one that I heard, which, you know, when I heard it, I was like, wow, like how many people would fall for that? They're actually calling people and telling them that one of their family members is in the hospital and that their insurance has expired and that they don't have the money to pay for the treatment that they need. And, you know, they're going to die from COVID-19. Please fund them. And, you know, that's the one that's going around right now.
Wow.
I can only imagine like somebody calling somebody's grandparent and them freaking out, like thinking like, you know, one of their children or grandchildren is in the hospital and they need this money and, you know, sending a payment for 20 grand or whatever it is.
I can't, like, and that's the thing I've seen with companies where they'll click, you'll get an email from somebody and it, you know, they're just trigger happy. They love clicking on stuff. And it's like, dude, check the email address, make sure it's not like, you know, some BS, and really kind of think about it, or call somebody, talk to the person before you, you know, just start clicking on stuff. You could, one little click, and this has happened to me, it could ruin your day, basically.
I had one last week, an email that came to me from somebody that I know. But I looked at, as I read the email, I could see the misspellings. So I replied to it because the email address was correct. So the hacker was in their inbox, and controlling it. So I replied, you know, and said, hey, this doesn't look legit. Is it? ? And then the hackers actually wrote back to me, said, it's all good. Go ahead and click the link. The first one. And I quickly deleted it because I still knew that it wasn't in the right tone. It wasn't the right person. They spelled April, APROL. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, and I know people with bad spelling and it wouldn't even be that bad. So it's like, thank God these hackers are terrible at writing in English.
Yeah.
Because that's the biggest telltale sign, I think, out there. But on the insurance side, for the small businesses, more than ever, with people working remote, that human error, it could be covered by some of these insurance policies that we've sold to professional organizations and to retail places. And there's so many things to worry about out there. By the way, did you see I'm wearing my official work uniform?
Perfect.
You know, I had to get dressed up for the call today. Wanted to make sure I was in uniform.
Yes. I love it. I think that you guys are kind of working in your industries respectively on kind of both ends of it. I would imagine that, you know, Randy, you want to make sure that people, you know, are as protected as possible. And if they're not, you'll come in and help them out. And then Aaron, you're just kind of a safety net to where, like, if something really does happen, it costs them time and money, as I guess a lot of these, you know, things that you deal with as far as insurance goes for businesses. You know, you come in and you could kind of how does that work with the insurance? Like if something goes down, if their network goes down and they're losing money, where does the insurance, like, what does the insurance do, basically?
Right. So there's liability coverage in there if you were to have an issue and get sued for it. There's data breach coverage. If you did have a breach, you are required by law to notify all your clients that could have had an issue, provide credit monitoring for 12 months. So there's a major expense tied to that as part of the requirement. And then there's also business interruption that can be paid out for certain cyber related events. So, you know, my whole staff is working remotely, except for me. I come into the office for a half a day every day. If something happens and it took out our network, you know, we could be down for an extended period of time and we could claim for business interruption. You know, a retail site that's selling face masks online and they're up and running and then they get hacked and their site gets stolen and taken over, they could potentially get business interruption covered for the period of downtime, you know, depending on how long that they were down for. So there's a lot of moving pieces to it. You know, I think at the end of the day, nobody wants to file an insurance claim, or everybody wants to file an insurance claim if they're going to get paid for it. But, you know, the best practices out there, I mean, that's where Randy comes in, to really make sure that people are aware of what their home internet setup should look like and what things people can do. You know, is it two-step verification? Is it don't click on shit? You know, get you a shirt, Randy, that says don't click this.
Don't click this. Yeah, so, I mean, speaking about best practices, I mean, Randy, when you're going over stuff with a new client or an existing client, like what would be like the top, you know, things that you would tell them as far as best, like, I'm going to set all this up for you, but don't do this. Like, what would you tell them?
It's not even don't do this, you know. there's so much to it. You know, you need a multi-layered approach. You need to change your passwords. You know, never use default passwords. Never use default usernames. Anytime you can change a username, like in your router or something like that at home, you know, always rename the admin account. Rename it some other name. You know, that way if somebody is trying to hack in, they have to know the username as well as the password. You know, antivirus is critical, but, you know, people think that antivirus is the end all be all. It's not. You know, there's so much more to it. You really need a multi-layered approach that's looking at everything in a big picture and piecing it all together. Like in the offices and in corporate environments, you know, we have everything integrated together where if a system on the network is picked up and, you know, it's reported as having a virus, the router will actually block that system from being able to communicate out with the rest of the network.
Oh, nice.
So, you know, it'll prevent it, you know, from spreading.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that it's doing maliciously, it'll start blocking.
Do you have like redundancies, like backups set up like cloud-based, or when you go into a company, I read on your site, you kind of just assess what they have. So you'll kind of work off of what system they have, or you'll tell them that this is garbage, let's start over?
Yeah, absolutely. We'll take a look at what they have, and then based off what they have and what they're currently using, you know, we'll recommend if we're, you know, if what they have is good, you know, we'll continue to use it. If what they have isn't working or we've had problems with it in the past at other locations, you know, we'll swap it out and put something else in. Offsite backup is always highly, highly recommended. It's not, you know, critical. Some clients we've had in the past that disagreed with going offsite with their backup, you know, they still wanted to rely on backup tapes and swapping tapes and stuff like that. It's, again, you're dealing with human error.
Yeah.
Because if you have somebody that's swapping tapes, that person might be taking those tapes offsite and bringing them somewhere. What happens if they stop at the store and leave them in their car and now their car gets stolen and somebody has their data?
Yeah, exactly. Is it kind of like a mentality where people just kind of don't, the people I've discussed it with, you know, of a certain older generation, they were really frightened of the cloud. They thought the cloud was going to take their stuff and never give it back. Is it kind of a, in certain instances, does it come to a point where you have to kind of just explain to them that this is kind of how it is now? And if you want to have hardware, you're just kind of setting yourself up for failure? Or do you kind of just like wipe your hands of it and be like, look, if this is what you want to do, you know, good luck and bon voyage. Like, how do you handle a situation like that where people don't want to do it the best way possible? What do you tell them?
My explanation, typically when somebody wants to know, you know, is the cloud secure? My response is, who do you think is more secure? Me protecting your network and your corporate environment, or Microsoft that has a gigantic security team?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. You know, typically, Microsoft's going to be a little bit more secure than Fulgent Technology. You know, they have a giant security team that's doing this, you know, full time, 24/7. You know, we're doing it as a part of it, our business. You know, we're protecting our clients' networks, but you know, they have a much bigger, more robust team than we do.
Are you have you had any clients experience like recently any kind of ransomware where they had to call you up and be like, you know, this person that's this person that's contacting us through the network, you know, wants 2 Bitcoin or they're gonna like, you know, blow our building up. Like, have you had any experiences like that?
We've had clients infected with ransomware, and you know, I'm not sure if you've seen these yet, Aaron. But the we just recently renewed our insurance. And when we renewed it, our insurance rate has gone up significantly. It was almost triple this year versus what it was last year. And working with our insurance agent, you know, we were talking back and forth and going over some things. And he got me involved with another group of people. And, you know, I was sitting in on a webinar with them. And it was a security team that actually works for the insurance agency. And they were telling us about a new ransomware attack where they're not actually encrypting your data anymore. Now what they're doing, they're actually stealing your data. They're creating a copy of your data, putting it out on the internet, and then sending you a link and saying, pay us $1 million and we won't publish this.
Oh, wow. That's devious. That's some 007 shit right there.
Because what would happen in the past is if you had a backup, you could just recover from backup and you didn't have to worry about paying the ransomware.
Oh, man.
You didn't have to worry about paying the ransom. Where now with this, you're screwed. You have to pay your company's at jeopardy.
So if you have insurance and you get hit with this ransomware, does the insurance, like if they ask for $1 million, does the insurance company like help pay the ransom, or how do these two things work together?
The insurance company definitely helps with the ransom request, right? So as part of the insurance policy, there's a line item for ransomware, you know, for certain cyber related attacks. You can buy $1 million liability policy, $500,000 or more or less. And there's a line item in there that covers that and covers other social engineering related attacks. Every policy is a little bit different. You know, cyber policies have 9 to 10 different coverage clauses in it of what types of malicious acts are covered and what's not. So it's, you know, like Randy said, it's working with your agent and kind of getting a feel for what's covered, what's not covered. Is this the right policy for you? Because they're not boilerplate, right? It's not auto insurance is very auto insurance. You buy it, you buy liability, you buy underinsured motorist, you buy comprehensive, you buy collision and rental car, see you later, bye. You know, cyber is different forms, different language, different companies, different regions, you know, and it's so in depth that it could make anybody's head spin. It's really just understanding what you need and, you know, trying to do the best that you can for the right price to make sure you get that coverage in place. So yeah, the long-winded version is yes, there is, you can buy coverage for that attack, for that theft, for that, you know, theft of funds, for the ransomware attack, for that link being sent out, which I hadn't heard before, but that it only makes sense. That's the next generation, because people are like, hey, I got a backup, throw out that laptop, buy a new one, $1,500, I'm done, and a half a day's worth of Randy's work, right? So, you know, that makes sense. Now we're going to exploit you and your clients, and you have no choice, you know, unless you can get this link for me in 30 seconds before it detonates.
Well, and that's funny, too, to think about, because it's like, you kind of have to, in a sick way, in a sick world that we live in, you kind of have to trust, you have to trust the hacker that they're not going to, like, you're going to send them money and then they're not going to release it, you know? And I guess it behooves them to not, because if you can't trust a hacker, who can you trust? Like, if you pay them and somebody finds out, if some other company is like, oh, I paid them and they released it anyway, then nobody's going to pay the ransom anymore. So, you know, if you pay them, I guess you kind of have to just take them at their word. Like, how does that even work?
Of my pay grade, I don't, you know, it makes sense, right? If the hacker's going to take the money and do the dirty deed anyway, they're going to stop getting money for when they demand it.
Yeah, they're one step above us.
Yeah, It's crazy. I mean, and is it the kind of thing where if a corporation has a database, is there a way of like encrypting that database so that unless you have a key or something, you can't see the data? Or do hackers just have a way around everything? Like, is there any way to protect the data from this even occurring to where they can't see what's there?
Yeah, absolutely. You definitely need to use encryption.
So is that the kind of case where a lot of these companies are just, you know, they have everybody like payroll, unencrypted, all their, you know, dirty emails from God knows who, like, you know, they're conversing with like hookers and none of this stuff is encrypted. And then the hackers get it. And then all your hooker information is online. Is there a way of like encrypting your hooker information is basically what I'm getting at. Asking for a friend.
Is this an after dark or is this
I've had too much coffee or not enough. I can't tell.
Yeah, I mean, you need to password protect everything and always use two-factor authentication anywhere where you can, as well as encrypting the data when it's at rest, when it's sitting on the servers or sitting in the cloud somewhere. You know, the data should always be encrypted. That way, you know, whoever does get a copy of it needs the decryption key to be able to decrypt it.
So this is kind of like what you were talking about before, as far as like a multi-layered approach, like set up your network, set up your business the right way, encrypt everything, make sure it's set up. And then also at the same time, have insurance just in case. Like you need to have all these steps or you're kind of just, you know, you're just waiting for something bad to happen if you don't have all these steps set up. I mean, that's what I'm gathering from it, Randy. Would you say that that's pretty much what you're saying?
Yeah, absolutely. This is another question too for you, Aaron. So when somebody is encrypted or encrypted with ransomware, say somebody's affected with ransomware right now, who should they call first? Or who should we call? Should we contact the insurance company before we proceed with doing any work to remediate the issue?
Absolutely. I would say that most of these cyber-related insurance companies have, you know, 24/7 type hotline, right, where you can speak to that, to the expert related to the crime, related to the issue, to then figure out exactly the best next steps to take, right? So they're there and on call and ready to go. And at the same time, you know, you may get the first phone call, your first question to be like, all right, do you have a cyber liability insurance policy? And maybe you want to start collecting them from your clients, you know, so that you can call the customer support, you know, which is not like your 1-800 number customer support, right? You're not dealing with somebody in a you know, 100 person call center that's going to read off a teleprompter. These are people that are experienced and understand what's going on. That's probably going to always be your best first bet after they call you, is to get them on the line, to get their recommendations, because we want to know, make sure we're going to have coverage here. We're going to want to make sure that your costs and your time to assist in the process is covered as well. You know, so I would definitely get the insurance company, unplug everything, and then get the insurance company on the line to see how they want to respond and, you know, and assist with the situation, because they may have further resources, you know, than you do to be able to help get things situated.
Right. And that's what I learned recently, you know, that they might not want us to touch it. They might want to send in their team to actually remediate and see what's going on.
Right. Or they may use you as part of that support, and then you get to invoice the insurance company, which is always good.
Cool. So, yeah, it's kind of like the IT company needs insurance, and then the company that they're working with needs insurance. Everybody needs insurance, basically.
Yeah. Because at the same time, like, you know, I get breached, and Randy, why did I get breached? It's your fault. So I'm suing Randy, you know, I'm putting an insurance claim for it. I'm suing Randy. I'm suing my insurance agent. I'm suing my next door neighbor. You know, everybody gets sued. And especially in this heated current environment we're in, people are getting, you know, there's just so many more lawsuits flying around for things. And I think people are more at risk. You know, there's been articles in New York Times, Washington Post about top-level executives having compromised systems because they're now working on a home internet instead of a secure office internet. So I think the risk is a lot greater right now. And I think people obviously stand to get soon. I think we need to have another lawyer on soon and find out what the skinny is on that.
Yeah.
And go from there.
Yeah, your best bet is to just like call Randy, get your stuff all updated and set up correctly, and then call Aaron and make sure you have like the insurance to back it up, because you know, I don't like kind of what I was talking about before, like as far as Randy, you seem like a very patient guy. You seem like you could like somebody could be telling you something really dumb about computers and you'll look at them and be very kind and nod. But whatever you're thinking, you're kind of keeping to yourself. Whereas when people ask me stuff, and I'm just like, dude, are you stupid? You have no idea what you're doing. Don't do anything you're saying. Don't buy a Best Buy. You know, don't buy a computer from Best Buy. Like, talk to an expert first, because they're going to wipe the computer anyway and reinstall everything because it's all full of garbage. Like, how do you, when you go into a company like that and you're dealing with like Maude, the secretary, who's like 75 and like, you know, barely keeping it together, and you got to explain to her that she can't have like these, you know, she's got to update her whole system. You can't have Windows XP on here anymore. Like, how do you handle a situation like that? What do you tell that person, or do you just kind of walk away angry?
No, I walked away like 5 years ago. Now I'm passing off with them. Help desk team.
Perfect.
I let them deal with those clients.
Nice. That sounds good.
I'll deal with the higher level executives that, you know, have a, you know, somewhat technical mindset that understand it. But my patience for this 75-year-old secretary, that's kind of a little bit years ago.
That's cool. Do you use, like, as far as, like, what do you recommend, like, all, like, as far as Microsoft, like, just using straight up Microsoft? Do you have people, do you deal with people with Macs? Do you find any system, as far as using the cloud, that do you recommend over others, especially in, like, a business or a corporate setting?
We're primarily a Microsoft shop, so most of our clients are running mostly Microsoft systems. But with technology today, with graphics and design, you know, there's a lot of Macs within the environments that we are supporting, because, you know, the designers are typically, you know, using the Macs. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we're supporting a mix of both. You know, somebody asking me for a recommendation, you know, I would recommend Microsoft just for the sake of, you know, if we're supporting it, we know it, you know, it's easier for us to work with and manage. But you know, if somebody's fixated on using a Mac, you know, we'll happily support it. But you know, we're not as good and proficiently using it as much as the Microsoft stuff.
It just seems like it's a Mac is great if you just want to open it and use what's there. But like for me, I like to mess with stuff, so it just seems like it's kind of easier in some ways to just kind of go in there and mess with a Windows computer. And there's, I mean, I guess I don't know, but like it seems to me that there's a lot more open source to software when it comes to a Windows computer. Like I'm using OBS, which helps me kind of connect. It's kind of like a studio kind of program that helps me connect Zoom to Facebook and do all this stuff. I mean, I would assume that whenever I have used a Mac, it costs money to do this stuff. Whenever I use a Windows, it seems like there's something out there that can kind of facilitate what we're actually using right now, which isn't cool. I mean, you know, Windows is reliable and I like it, but it's not cool. Like a Mac is very shiny, you know, hip people use it and stuff. But I mean, I guess you could find a way of connecting, networking these computers together and have backups. Do you have any like as far as using like say people personally using like a Google Drive or a Dropbox? Do you find any issues with people using that kind of stuff, or are they kind of, is it kind of safe? It's just based on your level of safety when you're using it.
They're safe. You know, we recommend them. We use them. Uh-huh. Again, it's a matter of using wherever you're storing it, using secure passwords, which most of these systems now require, but also enabling the two-factor authentication anywhere that you can.
Right.
You know, and you know, even with security, you know, go as far as you possibly can. If there's a level 3 and, you know, you could enable 3-factor authentication, go ahead and use that.
Cool.
You know, we have one system that we're using for remote access that's, you know, you need 3 layers of authentication to get into it.
Let me ask you one thing, too. So I've dealt with this IT company before, and I'm kind of on the other end of that stuff. I don't, the hardware, the networking, like, seems scary to me. I don't want to deal with it. But I've dealt with companies in the past. I was dealing with this one and they used an IT company and they're like, okay, we're going to set you up on this laptop and you have to put in a password. I'm like, okay, put in a password. And they're like, all right, we want you to write the password down and give it to the secretary, and the secretary is going to let us know what the password is just so we have it. That doesn't sound safe to me, Randy. Is that like, that's not like, nobody should know my password for a computer, right?
No, absolutely not. You know, we just did an email migration for a company, and, you know, I was telling them what we wanted to do, and I said, we're going to connect, and we're going to reset everybody's password. We'll give them a new password. And their response was, you don't have to do that. We'll just give you the list of passwords. And they sent me an Excel spreadsheet by email with everybody's passwords. So now I migrated them out to Office 365. I reconfigured all new secure passwords. And she asked me for the updated Excel spreadsheet. And I said, you don't need to do that. And she's like, no, I need the password. What if I ever need to get in? And I said, if you ever need to get in, call us, and we'll just give you access to that mailbox, and you can connect in with your own account. You don't need to use their account.
Yeah. That sounds... Yeah. That
wow,
sounds,
you could do that.
That sounds smart. That sounds like the best way to do it.
Because if... You know, and she said, she was like, well, I don't store this file on my computer. I store it on the server. I said, oh, great. So what if the server's hacked? So how do you find the password on there?
And they're just like, oh, a spreadsheet called passwords. Great.
The server is just another computer.
I mean, that's what a lot of these hackers do. They must be like just bombarding all these companies. And then the ones that do stuff like that have a spreadsheet with the word password on it. They're not going to go after a triple authenticated, like encrypted database company. They're going to go for, you know, Janine, who put the passwords in a spreadsheet in a file called called passwords. Like, right? Yeah. That's what they're doing.
Yeah. They're looking for the low hanging fruit.
Oh, man. That's so frustrating.
Most of the accounts that we've seen that have been hacked within the past year have been hacked because they're using their company name followed by like a number as their password.
Man, that's rough. And I mean, it's been my experience because I have like a 1 terabyte hard drive, with the beginning of my digital career up until I think it was like 2014. I had it all on a 1 terabyte hard drive, and it's like in pieces, like C-3PO over there, because it just exploded, and I lost everything. So ever since then, I've been evolving to the system to where I could buy any kind of crappy computer and then just boot up my cloud, and just it's just all there. And I think people really need to start thinking of things, you know, in my humble opinion, start thinking of ways of just being prepared for your computer's going to explode. Don't have everything you need on one computer. I would imagine that's in probably your guidelines somewhere.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, creating an incident response plan, knowing what applications you have, where they're loaded, you know, any software keys that you need to load them, passwords.
Incident response plan. I love that. Is there like some kind of checklist or something? Do you have this written out somewhere? You should sell that. I'd buy that from you. I just want a checklist like written out that I could like. Wow, incident response plan. I love that. I'm gonna use that. I don't know what for, but I'm definitely gonna use it. Aaron, before we kick it out of here, do you have anything as far as cybersecurity or any kind of tips for people to kind of keep in mind or what they should do when it comes to like insurance on stuff like this?
Yeah, listen, I think it's great to work with a professional for small businesses, to have somebody like Randy and Profulgent Technology in your background, you know, helping monitor your system and being available should a situation arise. You know, everybody should be looking into some type of insurance. And then that, you know, having that two-factor authentication is helpful across the board. I mean, I have one program that we use. I got an alert email that, hey, there's a new login from Neptune, New Jersey. And I'm like, weird, I'm in Monmouth Beach. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't me. And then I emailed one of my employees and they weren't anywhere near there either. And then I checked this one software. I didn't have a two-step set up. So I quickly changed my password, kicked everybody out, and then I had the two-step authentication put in and, you know, and no issues. And I don't think anything was taken. Don't know who it was. Don't know what it was. It was just a weird notice. But, you know, having somebody like Randy to be able to go in and check your systems and be able to help you with that checklist is super important. You know, you're better off not putting in an insurance claim, but having the insurance as a backup in case something does happen. you know, a lot of the policies want encryption while the data is at rest. Randy, a lot of the computers can, I know Microsoft has the I'm on the Surface laptop 3, and I know it has the built-in encryption in it, but how do people encrypt their data at rest if they're working remotely from a laptop?
Windows 10 has built-in BitLocker. It's reliant on the hardware. Most systems today will support it. You know, absolutely should be encrypted and turned on, but it's not turned on typically by default. You need to go in and turn it on. So, you know, it's something that everybody should check and just verify that they actually have turned on, especially for any system that's portable that they're traveling with and bringing outside of the home or outside of the office. But even in the office, you know, it's portable. Somebody can walk in and steal it, you know, your data is exposed.
Man. Randy, what's the best way for people to get in touch with you with any kind of IT questions or help they may need?
You could call me in the office, 732-242-9345. My direct extension is 101. Our help desk extension is 100. And other than that, you could email me, Randy D at profulgent.net. It's profulgent.net.
Cool. All right. Well, I want to thank you both for coming on and talking about this stuff. It's important, and people really need to take this seriously, because if you've never been through anything like this, you don't know what you're missing, and you'd want to avoid it. So, you know, call Randy and then call Aaron to make sure that you're protected on both sides of it. Guys, thanks a lot. Aaron, LG Insurance, as always, thanks for hooking all this up. Randy from Profulgent Technology, thank you for taking the time to talk to us. Everybody, this has been Totally Local Podcast, covering all the important stuff you weren't thinking about. I hope everyone's staying safe out there, and keep staying safe. Thank you again.